everyone else who you have given and whose heart you have touched to be part of this wonderful fellowship here. We pray, Lord, that your grace will abound towards them this morning in Jesus' name. Please bless and anoint the preaching and teaching of your word this morning in Jesus' name. Everybody says amen. All right. Ask your neighbor, are you encouraged? Yeah, what did they say? They are encouraged? Did they say they are encouraged? Oh, wow. Okay. That's very powerful. Amen. All right. So, the last time I preached, I'm just trying to find a proper description for what I'm trying to say. But anyway, I was preaching a long series. Amen. I've been preaching a long series of messages about building the church of God, isn't it? Since we moved here. Right. And I think the last time, that is before Reverend Henry hijacked the service last Sunday, the last time I was sharing with you about five things that destroy churches, isn't it? Five things that spoil churches. And then I only had the chance to share with you the very first one of those five things, which was what? The independent spirit, isn't it? To have an independent spirit. And I think we had a very good example in the Bible, isn't it? We talked about a certain man at length. Do you remember his name? What was his name? Joab. Joab, yes. Joab is a very good example of how not to belong to a church. Amen. How not to be when you are part of a great developing, building a church that is being built like the one we are working on. Hallelujah. That is to be around, but basically not to be subject to the things that we do in the church. Hallelujah. So you the person like that is usually around on their own terms. Do you understand? And that does not help churches. Amen. Does not, when a person, the pastor says something, we're going to do this, then one person will meet another group after the church and ask, what do you think about what the pastor was saying? I'm not going. Will you go? You see, it's not a good thing to do in a church. Amen. To have, you know, counter preachers, you know, people who speak in the background against the dominant voice of the house, which should be the voice of the shepherd. What do you think? Yeah, it should be the voice of the shepherd, the voice of the pastor, you know, and that is the voice of the leader. Hallelujah. And that's the voice that we must hear and follow. So that the Lord, I think I showed you from Psalm 23, how that it is important for us to be sheep and to follow, because all the wonderful experiences of the sheep depend on their ability to follow, isn't it? Because the sheep are able to follow, they get to experience green pastures, they get to experience still waters, isn't it? They get to experience restoration and all that because of their ability to follow the shepherd. He maketh me. Amen. So the shepherd must be able to make you do something that you wouldn't have chosen on your own. Can I have an amen? So that is how far we went. Now, today I want to talk about the second one. And hopefully, if time allows, maybe we can talk about or touch on the third one before we close today. Amen. Right. Now, the second thing that destroys and has destroyed many, many, many churches is a spirit of offense. You know, A spirit of offense. Everybody say with me, a spirit of offense. Say it again. Say, a spirit of offense. Hallelujah. Now, it is important for us to understand that getting offended in a church is a very common thing. Amen. And in a sense, you should even expect it. Do you see? Now, the reason why I'm saying that is that a church that is being built and that is developing is like a construction site. Now, when you're on a construction site, there are many rough edges. And there are many things that can give you scratches here and there, you know, that can cause some discomfort here and there. That is why the people who work on a construction site always wear helmets. Have you observed that when people are working on construction sites, they seem to have hard hats? Have you seen those yellow hard hats? Now, those things, as you can see, the way they look even, you see that they are not designed for fashion. Do you see? They don't look like the kind of hat that Miriam is wearing this morning with a bow in the front. You see, designed to match her clothes. They don't come in many different colors. Do you understand? It's all yellow no matter what you're wearing down there. Because the aim is not to make you look good. That's not the vision and that's not the intent. Hallelujah. But it is to protect you while you keep on building and doing something that is worthy of the effort you are putting in. In other words, the danger of being injured and hurt on a construction site does not mean you should not be part of the construction. Do you understand? But rather, you are expected to dress properly and still come and be part of the construction. Do you understand? Because It is not going to be forever. At a certain point, the construction would have been done. Do you understand? Except that in a church, we never outgrow the propensity to be offended. Do you understand? The church is a place where people gather, and one of the common things that happen in a church is that people get offended by one another. Can I have an amen? Amen. Many different of types of offenses that occur in a church. People can be offended on many different levels. One of the levels is that a leader in the church can be offended by the members. Do you understand? Not just the pastor. The pastor can be offended by the church members. You know, that is an unfortunate one. Because when you are the leader of anything and you are offended by the people you are leading, then you are beginning to commit suicide, if you like. Do you see what I'm saying? You are actually spoiling and destroying what you're doing. Hallelujah. Many years ago when I used to be the choir director of my choir, I remember there were times when I would be so upset. I just couldn't understand why when I say sing do, then you sing dee. I mean, why can't you get it? And sometimes I would be so irritated by the whole thing. I would get so upset, then I would walk away. I would walk away. The choir would be in front of me like that. Now just turn and walk away from them. And then they don't know what to do, whether to close or to continue singing, or they're just left, and I just go out. But then soon after I get out, I realize that, okay, so I'm upset. But the truth is that it means now no choir. You see, no choir. You're not going to have, you say you don't like the song they are singing. You don't like the fact that they are not singing it well. Well, how about having no song at all? Do you see? Then very quickly I realized, you know, I prefer half a song to none of a song. Do you see what I'm saying? So I come back and then I fix my face, you know, and fix my attitude and try to work with the song again. And eventually it works, and we sing it like that, even if it doesn't work. Hallelujah. So when you're leading a group in the church, you know, like Harry is leading the drama group, you know, other people leading other parts of the church, you are bound to come into situations where the people you lead, you know, fall far below your expectation, and that can upset you significantly. Hallelujah. It can upset you, it can hurt you significantly, especially when you feel sometimes that the people do not appreciate your efforts. They do not appreciate what goes into leading them. They do not appreciate the effort you're making. You know, you can get very offended by them. Hallelujah. Then the flip side is the next level, where now the people are offended by their leader. You know, either because they feel the leader is too harsh, the leader is unreasonable in his demands, you know, his expectations. He set the time, said the choir should meet at 8 o'clock in the night, and then they come at 8 o'clock, and they meet from 8 o'clock till about 11 o'clock at night, you know, and they just keep singing and singing and singing, and the leader is never satisfied. Do you see? So you see that the person is upset, or even that the person is rebuked. That's another thing that offends people in a church, where someone is rebuked or corrected, you know, for doing something that is not proper, you know. One time Paul was writing, and he was saying that, I have written these things to you so that you will know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God. Let me show you that verse real quickly. And let me just show you that verse real quick. Are you still here? All right. Here it is. No, this is not the verse I'm looking for. Let me just find the verse properly, and I'll read it to you. It's a very... Pastor Henry, do you have it? What is it? 1 Timothy chapter what? Chapter 3. Let's see. Okay. That is the right one. Okay. So 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Have you found that verse? Okay. Let's read it. He says, but in case I am delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God. Can you see that? But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Hallelujah. Look at that. I like this description of a church. The Bible calls the church, you know, the pillar and ground of the truth. Do you understand? The pillar and ground of the truth. Then the Bible also seems to be telling us here that not every behavior is appropriate in a church. Do you see? And he says a person ought to know how they ought to behave themselves in the house of God. Amen. How does one know how to behave yourself in the house of God? Well, in this case, Paul was saying that I've written these things, you know, if you read verse 14, give us verse 14, please. Verse 14, add verse 14 to 15 so we can read the two together. You know, it says, I am writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long. Okay, these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that means if I delay, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself. Right. So the point I want to make is that knowing how to behave yourself in a church is not something we come naturally with. Do you see what I'm saying? That it has to be taught to you. Somebody has to teach you how to behave in the church. Amen. Somebody has to teach you how to behave in the church. And one of the opportunities for learning or teaching, you know, depending on if you are the one who is being corrected, you know, then you are learning it. If the one, you know, anyway, whatever it is. But what I'm trying to say is that one of the opportunities for learning is when you are corrected. Can I have an amen? In this case, Paul was saying that I'm writing it to you because I am hoping to come there soon. But if I don't get there early enough, here are instructions so you know how you ought to behave in the house of God. So there is an appropriate way to behave in the house of God. There is a way to move around and conduct yourself in the house of God. There is an appropriate way to dress to the house of God, for example. There is an appropriate way to even sit in the house of God. Hallelujah. There's an appropriate way to relate with the opposite sex in the house of God. Hallelujah. We don't meet people in the church and, hey, how are you? Then you smack their bottom like that, you know. Can you imagine that if Pastor Henry would meet you in the church and then, hey, sister, long time old, then he just gives your bottom a little pat like that, you know. Why did I say Pastor Henry? Because I want to use Pastor Henry. I'm the pastor. I can choose who I want to use. He's begging. Okay, not Pastor Henry. See, the other day when I mentioned some name, not knowing someone's name, it was someone's name in the church. You know. But what I'm saying is that there is an appropriate way to behave in the church. Don't you think so? Don't you think that if we are in the house of God, the Bible calls it the pillar and the ground of the truth. It's the last stop for knowing the truth. It's the ultimate place for knowing how things ought to be. Do you see what I'm saying? So a church must have standards. Now, sometimes as we seek to preserve those standards, then you're going to be forced to correct people and you're going to be forced to rebuke people. Do you see? And the rebuke comes in different forms. Sometimes it comes directly to the individual. Sometimes it comes in the preaching. Do you understand? And many times, especially the rebuke that comes in the preaching, does not have any particular person as a target. But you see, it is a very common feeling in church when you are listening to the Word of God. Especially in a church where the message is anointed. Do you understand? You're going to find that very often you can see yourself in the message. And the reason why you can see yourself in the message is because the message is a real-time message. The message is inspired by the Holy Spirit who knows our real-time needs. And because he knows our real-time needs, he has no business talking about things that are not relevant to us as of now. Do you see what I'm saying? That the one of the names of, or the descriptions of the Word of God is a message. We call the preaching a message. How many are familiar with that term? We describe the preaching as a message. Oh, I really like the message today. Well, a message has a sender and has a recipient. Do you understand? Every message has a specific source. It has somebody who is sending it. Otherwise, it's not a message. Whether it's a text message or an instant message or an iMessage or a Voxer message or a Viber message or an Uvu message or what, Twitter message, or there is always somebody who is sending it. And without a recipient, it's not a good message. It's just words typed. So every message has someone it is intended for. So when the Holy Spirit inspires a message, don't be surprised that he has somebody in mind. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, why do you want to be the recipient of messages that are not meant for you? Why do you want to receive a message that is not yours? Yesterday, somebody sent me a text message, and the person was giving me some instructions. You know, the person said that you need to come at such and such a time, and, you know, as I read the message, I knew immediately that this message was misfired. It's not for me. So I replied and I sent the message back to the person. I said to him, "You didn't mean this for me, did you?" Then he sent a text message back and said, "Oh, sorry, Bishop, it's not for you." The point is that when you have a message that comes to you, which is not meant for you, the message is no good. There is no point receiving a message that is not meant for you. The best message for you is the message that is relevant to you, so that you should count yourself blessed when you come to the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. This is where truth lives. Do you understand? This is where you hear it as it is and as it ought to be. So it's a place where you should expect to have frequent encounters with seeing yourself in the truth. Seeing yourself as you are, as you ought to be. It is a place where you should often expect the picture of your life as it really is to be painted to you. Now, that is not very pleasant. It's not always pleasant. Do you see? How many of you have looked in some of these mirrors that are not made properly, that make that when you look in the mirror, you see you don't look nice? How many have seen any of those mirrors? Yeah. So then you change the mirror. Have you ever wondered, what if that mirror is telling the truth? But the truth is that we naturally don't like a mirror that gives us a reflection of ourselves in a way that we don't like to see ourselves. Do you see what I'm saying? One of the names of the Word of God, according to the book of James, is that the Bible is like a mirror. It says we must be hearers of the word and not doers only. Can you show us that verse, please? It says, and be hearers of the word and not, very quickly, please. Is my message making sense to anybody this morning? Is it helpful to you? Do you see yourself in it already? Okay. Means I'm preaching the right message. Amen. Means you are also in the right church. Hallelujah. You should be glad that you are in a church where God on a daily basis is talking and working on your life. Okay, have you seen this verse? It says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. That means there are some people who just hear, they don't do. But God is saying, in addition to hearing, become a doer. Because if you're a hearer only and you do not do, you are deceiving your own self. Now, deception is painful enough. But when the deceiver and the deceived are the same person, then that is too bad. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, that is too bad, because you don't even know who to blame anymore. Now, the next verse after this one says, in verse 23. Are you bringing it? Okay. Verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Okay, now often when the Bible says glass, he means mirror. Do you understand? Because you don't look, you don't behold your face in your drinking glass. Is that true? Yeah. So this is a mirror. And he's saying that a person who hears the word and does not do it, he is like a person who is beholding his natural face. That means the way you really are. That's different from beholding his face in a mirror. Do you understand? That's different from a person beholding his face in a glass. But God is careful to qualify it with the word natural. Because the word natural seems to be pointing out to us that the thing is, this is how it is. This is your face. This is your life. Your life unpolished. Do you understand? Your life pre-treated. Do you see? Yeah, your life as it is, the way you are. That is a natural face in a glass. Then look at the next verse. Then it says in verse 24. But whoso... No, verse 24. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So it means the image in the mirror was actually giving a description not just of how you look. He says it was also a revelation of what manner of man. That means what type of person you are. In the word of God and in the church, in the preaching experience or encounter, one of the common revelations is what manner of man or woman you are. So sometimes when you are in church, it is not strange to feel uncomfortable when the preaching is going on. It is not because anybody has you as a target for preaching. Do you see what I'm saying? See, some people get into a habit of they begin to think that, no, somebody has told the preacher something. You see, if you've lived long enough, you must know somebody who has left a church because, you know, I don't like a church where you tell the pastor something, next thing you know, they are preaching with it. Say, they are preaching with it. He's not preaching with it. Do you understand? He's not preaching with it. It's like telling the mirror, you know, I brought my face, now you're working with it. It's like when you look in the mirror and you see yourself, you don't have anything to show me. You see, as I brought my face, now you are showing it back to me. He says that this person looks in the mirror and he beholds himself and he goes away and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So the mirror experience, the mirror encounter you had was giving you a revelation of what manner of man you are. Listen, you should be grateful for any opportunity to know what manner of man or woman you are. Yeah, listen, when I'm preaching, I really don't need clapping. So if you decide to clap, clap properly. Do you understand? Yeah. If you don't clap, then you just keep quiet and then I just continue my preaching. But what confuses me is when you start clapping and it's like, is it a clap or do I wait or not wait? I just get confused. Hallelujah. How many think they understand what I'm sharing with you this morning? You see, look at it. It says, what manner of man you are. Do you know something? We live in a world where it's really difficult to know even who you are. Do you understand? It's difficult to know. And even when people know who you are, they don't care about you enough to tell you. And yet, you see, the thing that holds anybody back in this life is not what you do well at. You see, what you are good at doing or your strengths, the things you do well, have already exhausted what they will give you. What I mean is that whatever you're doing well has already given you what it will give you. That means your next step forward in terms of progress in life depends on knowing something you don't do well. It depends on knowing something new, you see, because let's say we measure progress, two steps of progress you have made. You know, you're very good at whatever and very good at another thing. So this is you. Means you are stuck here Until somebody gives you a revelation about something you are not good at, which you can work on and add it to your good. Do you understand? So you don't get to take another step forward in anything, whether it's a relationship, whether it's yourself. You don't get to take another step forward until you discover one more thing that you need to work on and get better at. And as you discover the things and you keep moving on, you keep moving on, you find yourself doing better and better and advancing in life. Do you understand? So when you meet someone who does you the favor, or when you meet or come into a situation, or come to the house of God, which the Bible calls the pillar of the truth, the pillar and the ground or foundation of the truth. When you get to be blessed enough to be in this environment, and God is gracious enough to open your eye to see. Do you understand? To open your eye to see. Because there's another thing. Sometimes you can also show something to someone and they can't even see it. Has it not happened to you before? Hasn't it ever happened? Have you not ever told someone, look straight before you. Just look right there. It's right there. And he says, where is it? Has it happened to you before? Yeah. You are pointing it out. The thing is right there. You say, you just follow my fingers. Just follow my fingers. Right there. Look at the tip of my finger. He is right there. And then the person is looking. He says, I can't see it. That is the difference between the word see and the word look. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So you need to understand that it's a real blessing to get to see something about yourself in the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. And instead of switching to a heart that gets offended and gets hurt that the preaching or the preacher said this about me. Do you understand? And the thing about preaching is that when someone is preaching and you see yourself in the preaching, because you see yourself in it, you think everybody can see you also. Do you understand? That's what causes the offense. See, many people don't mind knowing there's something wrong with them. They just mind others sharing the knowledge. You see, they wish they would probably know it, but know it in private. Do you understand? It's just like when you're by yourself, you take off your clothes, it doesn't even occur to you that you are naked until you hear somebody's footsteps coming there. You start to gather your clothes and start to wear them, because nakedness has become a problem because of who else is coming around. So many people feel that when the preaching is going on, the fact that the light is shone on me, I feel that everybody else can see me. But what you don't often know is that everyone else also thinks everyone can see them. Do you understand? That you are not the only person who has that problem. The fact that God has even caused that to be the subject of the day means that most likely it's a common problem. Hallelujah. That you are not the only person who feels a certain way. And plus, nobody really knows what is going on. All you have to do is, you see, the Bible says you need to know how to behave thyself in the house of the God, of the Lord. One of the ways or one of the behaviors is learn to look straight ahead of you, you know, and nobody will know that you are the one the pastor is talking about. Hallelujah. Just sit straight and then just smile, you know. And the word is coming, you know it's you, but you just receive it with smiles. And nobody knows it is you. Because none of us is above the word of God. You get it? Sometimes I found myself preaching something and I get to a point I think, this is me. Yeah. None of us is above the word of God. This is the house of God. This is not my house. Do you understand? This is the house of God. And the Bible says it is the pillar and the ground of truth. It's serious business in this environment. Do you see what I'm saying? And nobody is above it. And the word of God The Bible says it's quick and powerful. Say, how did he know it? You'll be surprised. The Bible says the word of God is so dynamic. Let me show you that verse. The word of God is quick and powerful. The word of God is quick and powerful. That's in Hebrews. Wow. Are you being blessed today? Or are you offended already? Hallelujah. You've got it. Okay. Hebrews 4:12. It says, for the word. Everybody read it with me. 1, 2, 3, go. For the word of God is what? It's quick. Say it's quick. Say it's quick. Say it's quick. And then what? And it's powerful, isn't it? Number three is what? It is sharper than any two-edged sword. Do you see? Yeah, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. That's why I'm saying that when you have a two-edged sword, you have to handle it with care, because you think you are cutting something, it can actually be cutting you too. That's why I'm saying that even the preacher is not excluded. Yep. Hallelujah. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. Now, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Look at the words that are being used to describe the word of God. One, it's quick, it's powerful, it's sharp. Sword, pierce, divide. If I came to you and I say to you that the experience we're going to have this morning is going to be quick, it's going to have some power, then it's going to be sharp, and it is likened to an encounter with a sword, and there will be some piercing and dividing, what would you expect? Hallelujah. And the Bible says that the word of God is also a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That means the word of God can read your mind. Do you understand? The word of God can read your thoughts. That is how come sometimes you wonder who told him, because you know you haven't told anybody else. Do you see what I'm saying? That is how come sometimes you wonder, how did you start to look around? In fact, some people, which is another level of offense in the church, some people in the course of the preaching, they target somebody, and like they say in my language, they mean the person even before the sermon is over. Do you know what it means to mean somebody? Do you know what it means to mean somebody? Have you meant somebody before? Yeah. You see, you'll be there quietly, but your mind has taken shape and postured itself, you know, against a particular individual, and that posture is not a favorable one. That is what it means to mean somebody. Miriam, do you know what it means to mean somebody? And sometimes the church, the preaching of the word of God in a church can cause meanings. Where you see people have, a person is sitting there coolly and is just thinking, for the pastor to say this, it means, this one right here has gone to tell him something. Do you understand? Then you start, that's where you even lose the preaching, because you start to track, where was that possible? Then you remember that as you were coming in this morning, you saw the pastor standing with Ohui, you know. Meanwhile, the pastor was just asking, when is this thing dropping? That was the pastor's question. But you assume that, he was telling the pastor, you know, whatever happened, you know, when you last visited her, or you told her some story and that. So as the pastor starts to preach, you are thinking, no way, this is Ohui. So the meaning. Do you understand meaning? So you see, you target the person and you mean the person. And you even start to become hostile to them already before the service is over. you have the wrong target. You have picked up the wrong person. An innocent person has become a victim of your ignorance. Because what you don't know is that the preaching of the word, he says he is a discerner. A discerner. Something that can discern, that means something that can read into. That is what it means to discern. To discern means to be able to see into something. So sometimes you haven't said it. If you had said it, the word would not be discerned. The word would be heard. Do you see what I'm saying? Because when you say something, then people would hear it. But when something has to be discerned, it means the thing is hidden. It's not obvious. And yet the word of God can know it. And it says, it is a discerner of the thoughts. Do you see? And then intents. That is something that has not even yet been executed. You haven't done it yet. But it's in the plan. Do you understand? And the word of God is able to read it. Hallelujah. That is how powerful this church encounter is. If you're in the right church, you should have these moments regularly. Hallelujah. You should have these moments regularly. And it should rather bother you that I've been in the church for about 3 weeks. Somehow none of the preaching has concerned me. In fact, I heard about a pastor the other day who said that he has stopped counseling. He says he doesn't do any type of one-on-one counseling. When somebody has a problem in the church, he tells the person, just come to church continuously for 6 weeks. If the problem is still there, then I'll talk to you. Yeah. And he says that most of the time, within 6 weeks, everything is gone. Somehow, within the preaching, 6 weeks worth of preaching, somehow the issue will be addressed. I don't know how the Lord does it. Even 2 days ago, I was speaking to one, but it was actually Bishop Eddie. I was speaking to Bishop Eddie and I was asking him a question about something. And then he said, you know what? This type of 10 hours counseling and so on that we used to do, I've stopped doing that. Then he also told me, these days I ask people, just come to church. Yeah, because me, I've done it before. I have sat down with one couple. I went to see them in the evening from about 7 p.m. over one issue. When I left their house, it was 4 a.m. in the morning. I know you're thinking, and the issue was solved, right? Well, it wasn't. It wasn't. It wasn't. That is a shift, right? Yeah. A fruitless shift. From 7 p.m. in the evening in the Bronx in New York, in the apartment is called, the building is called Tracy Towers. You know Tracy Towers? I climbed up on Tracy, you know, went up. I think that day even the elevator was not working. And I went up, up, up to the building, to the apartment, and I stayed there the night and talked and talked and talked and talked. It was about a woman who used to beat her husband. And you think it stopped. It didn't stop. Yeah, because whatever he was doing that attracted the beatings, he was still doing it. Hallelujah. Yeah. In the end, she left him. You see. So what I'm saying is that the word of God is like that. When you yield yourself to, I'm going to church, you are yielding yourself to a pruning experience. Do you understand? Where things are going to be removed out of your life. Do you understand? Where things are going to be purged out of your life. Hallelujah. Now, purging is not a very comfortable experience. Anybody took a purgative before? Do you know what a purgative is? All right, I'm glad you don't know it. But something that you take, sometimes when people feel constipated, Do you understand? And they feel a serious bloating, then one of the things they take is a type of medication they call a purgative. I think I'm correct. I don't know. You see. I don't know, some nurse here or something to help me. Yeah. Sandra, do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Then there is another type of medication called a laxative. You see, laxatives are gentle. You see, they do a similar thing, but in a gentle way. Over time, they get the guys out. Do you understand? Now, a purgative, once it lands in there, it's like a bomb. It's like, look, I'm here. Now everybody out. You can't go out under such an influence. You stay at home. Because those guys could be coming any moment. Hallelujah. The word of God can be rough. This same word of God that encourages, that strengthens, do you understand, also has this other side to it. Can I have an amen? Amen. It has this other side to it. So it is important for us to shape our expectations properly when we come to church. Can I have an amen? I mean, if you go to church and you are not hearing anything that concerns you, you know, I'm telling you that you are not having a true encounter with the word of God. Hallelujah. If nothing pierces you at some point, do you understand? If you don't feel some sharpness at some point, do you get it? If you don't feel something being violently removed from your life, sometimes you see there seems to be a focus on an issue in your life, and that issue is receiving strong attention. You wish the pastor will even just move on to the next point, and he's not. Gets worse when he comes to stand, you know, in front of you, and he's, you know, and there are some people like that. My brother-in-law, Pastor Kweku, I'm sure one day he will come and visit us. Pastor Kweku has a thing about him when he's preaching, you know. He goes, he's just preaching. He doesn't know the people. I mean, all of you don't even know him. So the day he comes, when it happens, you will see that what I'm saying is true, because you don't even know him. You know he doesn't know you. He comes to stand right here. And then he's preaching to the church. And he's talking about the things that concern this person. You see, and he doesn't know it. And then the pastor of the church sits there and then he's like this. Oh. I've lost a member. He starts to think. So at the end of the service, then the pastor tells him that, oh, this matter that you brought up in the preaching. You see, the lady that you were standing by, that is the where the whole, the headquarters of the issue was, right there. Then Pastor Kweku himself goes, ooh, because he doesn't know it. You see, when we start to, we trivialize our church experience and make it look like it is just a gathering of people. I'm telling you that what we are doing here is different from when Ghanaians Association or Cote d'Ivoire Association or people, old boys association meet. You know, they also sit in chairs arranged, somebody talks to them. But this experience we're having is different from that. That one, when the person says something, you can feel free and say, somebody told him. Because you know this is not the house of God. But the Bible says you need to know how to behave yourself in a church. Because it is the church of the living God, and it is the pillar and the ground of truth, the headquarters of truth. This is where we get the ultimate in truth. And if it's not grabbed and captured here, kiss it bye-bye. It means nobody else will find it. If the word of God does not find it here, then it means it's gone. It means no one else will find it. If the word of God does not confront it here at some point, then it means it's not a confrontable issue. But anything that is an issue worth its salt, at some point, the word of God is going to address it. Hallelujah. When the word of God addresses it, you should be grateful. You should have a grateful heart. Learn to have a grateful heart. I'm telling you, it is your mind that tells you everyone can see it. But take it from me, not everyone can see it. Do you understand? So rather, rejoice in your heart that you have had a true encounter with the Holy Spirit. You have managed to see or look, you know. Pastor Malena, can you, Shegun, can you give us that James verse again? We didn't even finish that. But give us James 1 verse 24, and let's finish with that. He says, verse 24, please. Right. For if he says, he beholding himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Okay. Now, look at the next verse. He says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. This is another description of the word of God. Whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. The Bible says, this man, everybody say this man. Say this man. Say not that man. Say not that man. Say this man. Right. He says, this man shall be what? He shall be blessed in his deed. Hallelujah. He says, this man, God is not confused at all about who gets blessed in his presence. He says, this man, the one who looks into the law of liberty and continues in what he heard. Do you understand? That means when he found himself in it, he continued. When the mirror told him, look, your hair is not combed, he just went according to the mirror, started to look for a comb, you know, and started to find. And how many know that sometimes the comb is not always where you left it the last time, especially when you live with other people. Do you see what I'm saying? The comb is not always where you left it, but if a person is serious and has a devotion to the revelation of the mirror, they walk all around the house looking for that comb. And they look for it. And they look here. And they can't find it. And they look there. And they can't find it. And they get even frustrated and start yelling and screaming. But they still keep searching. And they find the comb eventually. And they fix that thing. And guess who looks better? Not the comb. Guess who looks better? It is the man. That's why the Bible says, this man, he'll be blessed in his deed. He'll be blessed in his deed. So the question is, what is he doing? If it's a marriage, he'll be blessed in it. Do you understand? What is he doing? If it's a relationship, he'll be blessed in it. So you see, sometimes some people, their things are working, you don't understand. And they look like they're just lucky people. One person told one, you are blessed, you have this nice woman. I just married a devil. No. It's like seeing somebody whose hair is combed and saying, you are blessed, you have this hair that's nicely arranged. I just got my hair from the devil. The reason why your hair looks the way it looks is not because the other person's hair didn't look that way. It's just that they combed it. When the mirror spoke to them, they responded and they combed it. You have left your hair uncombed in spite of what you saw. Do you understand? And as you have come into public, you see other people and they look so much better. And you start to look at yourself and you're saying that your hair came from the devil. No! Somebody say, thank you. Hallelujah. Are you understanding the word of God today? So we must be careful not to be offended by the preaching in the church. Can I have an amen? Then there are other levels of offense. You know, brother against brother, sister against sister. You know, sometimes friendships that go sour. You know, so many things that happen in the church. Sometimes even family issues. Do you get it? Family feuds can just spill over into the church. Do you get it? Say, one family, something going on in the family, and because they're brother and sister and cousin and auntie and they're all in the same church, suddenly then there's a problem. Do you see? And sometimes you see the whole segment of the church doesn't come anymore because the family is fighting. One day, one pastor, he told me, he said, my church is basically made up of two families. You know, because he had just started the church. See, this is how the devil scatters a church even before it has a chance to be anything. Because when people go to a church, it is, I come to the church and I'm so blessed, I bring my sister along. My sister is blessed. My sister brings her beloved, you know, and then he comes along. He's also blessed. My beloved has a brother. He also comes along. So in time, you realize that the church is made up of people who are connected to people. Do you understand? So this brother was explaining to me. He said, my church is made up of two families. Now, it turns out that this family started fighting with this family. You know? Yeah. So he said to me that one day I had a meeting after church to address the problems in the church. And then I said to him, brother, you were not addressing the problems in the church. You had a family meeting. Yeah. Because your church is this family and that family. So when you met the two together to say you are addressing the problems of the church, you were actually addressing the family. It's like having a family meeting. And he said, wow, pastor, you should have been there. The thing just went wild, out of control. I said, yes, because the problem is deeper than the church. The church is where it has just presented itself. But it's a real problem inside the thing. And now it's threatening to scatter the whole church. Meanwhile, the church didn't come together because we're trying to put families together. This is the house of God, the church of the living God. Hallelujah. If you have an issue with someone in your family, don't come and do it here. Do you understand? You come, bring the issue and come here. But when the word of God is addressing it, allow it to be addressed. Do you understand? But don't start to expect that even the pastor will take sides. Do you see? So you have quarreled with your sister and I start talking to you. When I finish, I go and say hello to your sister. She won't mind me. She's going home early today after church because she saw me talking to you. How many can understand what I'm sharing with you? Yeah. Then you have problems that are created also by relationships, beloveds. You see, as long as boys and girls and brothers and sisters meet together, this type of relation, it's common for people to fall in love with people. It's not a problem. The problem occurs when this falling in love business starts to split the church. How many can understand what I'm saying? Yeah. When someone you met in the church and you fall in love with the person, then when you fall out of love with the person, suddenly, you should have known that as you were going in, there's a chance you would. If you can go in, it means it's a door. If it's a door, then it goes in and out. Do you see what I'm saying? Right. But what I'm trying to say is that nothing like that must be allowed to affect you so much that it cancels the reason why you came to the church in the first place. Do you see? Then that issue has gone too far. Rather, you should submit the issue to this word of God. Do you understand? That is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And allow the word of God to address it. And allow the word of God to fix our hearts. Do you understand? And fix our issues with one another. Hallelujah. I mean, our time is up. Next week, I'm going to share with you how to deal with church offenses. Amen. So I want you to come back to church next week. And I'm going to give you some very powerful keys on how to handle these things so that the enemy does not have an advantage over us. The devil knows this is the place where people's lives are worked on. If we can throw a bomb into this place, smoke the whole thing up. Yeah, just spoil it. Like what? Yeah. Let's throw a pegative into the church just to just dismiss everybody. Yeah. So you see a lot of churches that don't work. This is what happens. This person is quarreling with this person. That one is quarreling with that one. This one is quarreling with this person. This one is... Until the place gets so sour and bitter, it's a painful place to belong to. You just don't want to be there anymore. Then you see, I'm going to the other church. Yeah. Guess what they are doing? They are taking the same spirit over there to go and scatter the same... So you see, many people, they hop from church to church to church to church just to spoil the church. But we are learning how to deal with it by the grace of God. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Tell somebody, we are learning how to deal with it. Amen. Yeah. If they don't say it, ask them, hey, my friend, are you offended already? Monique, tu les understand les preaching? To comprend? Oui. Yeah. If Monique gets it, then everybody has received it. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet and everybody let's pray. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm blessed by this morning's preaching. Amen. And I feel that God is going to help us. Hallelujah. Listen. If I have offended you in my preaching at any time, tell, forgive me. Do you understand? Tell your neighbor, forgive him. Forgive him. Yeah. Hallelujah. You just have to forgive me. Do you see what I'm saying? Your pastor is like, or even not just your pastor, but you see your relationship with people. One of the things that you have to learn to do is to forgive. Do you understand? Because forgiveness is like a beautiful dress that is soiled. Do you get it? Forgiveness is like a wash. Many dresses have a longer useful life so long as you can wash it. Do you see what I'm saying? The problem is when you can't wash it. Many things stop giving what they were intended to give you because they can't be washed. Do you see what I'm saying? But if you can wash it, do you see? If you can clean it, whether it's washing or dry cleaning or whatever, but if you can clean it, if the thing that has been soiled can be cleaned, that thing can start giving that same pleasure again. Do you see what I'm saying? It can start being useful again. It can start blessing your life again. Hallelujah. So I want you to bow your heads with me this morning. And I don't know who has offended you in this church. Maybe somebody in the choir, maybe somebody in another part of the church, someone in the church has done something, said something, looked you the wrong way, you know, associated with someone you didn't want them to associate with, you know, or maybe you're one of those persons caught in a family situation that is upsetting your whole experience in this place. I want you to take a decision this morning to forgive and to say that I'm going to let it go in the name of Jesus. I'm going to let it go in the name of Jesus. Just pray, everybody pray and say, Lord, I don't want to destroy your house with my unforgiveness, with my hurts and my offenses. I'm not important enough. This is your house, the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. The pillar and the ground of truth. This is the place. If anybody has any doubts about the truth, this is the place where we bounce it off. We bounce the truth off against this pillar and it survives. This is the place where we have the ultimate revelation of how to be, what is right, what is not right. This is the place. And so I will not spoil the atmosphere in this place with my attitude, with my hurts and my pain. Rather, I'll be humble and I'll submit and yield myself to it. And I'm going to trust God to help me get over it, to help me forgive the other person, to help me get over this issue in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Everybody just pray. Let's take a minute and pray for the church. Everybody, let's pray for the church. Let's pray for this church, that God will strengthen it. Why don't you join hands with someone standing close to you and pray that God will bless this work. God will anoint and establish the truth in this place. That this will be a place where His truth will always be preached. That if there is a place where you will hear it as it is, it will be this place. That the church will not change. It will not change into a place where evil and sin is condoned and encouraged. But rather, this is the place where the ultimate place where even the worst sinner can have some hope for change. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your blessing. In the name of Jesus. Lord, you are welcome in this place. Lord, you are welcome in this place. Lord, you are welcome in this place. Have your sing it, everybody. Lord, you are welcome. Lord, you are welcome in this place. Lord, you are welcome in this place. Lord, you are welcome in this place. Come on, sing, move by your spirit in this place. Move by your spirit in this place. Move by your spirit in this place. Move by your spirit. In this place, have your way. And now sing, send your anointing in this place. Send your anointing
have your way. Have your way. We want to do your will. Just show us, Lord. Have your way.
Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being in your house. We thank you for the privilege of being in a church where the word of God is quick and powerful enough to discern the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. It is amazing, Lord, when we come to church and things that we thought no one knew about somehow are laid bare. As a testimony to the fact that your presence is with us and that you are at work in our lives, I pray in the name of Jesus that into each of our hearts today you will give and place the humility we need to respond to the word of God, that we will be like children in your house, that we will be humble to receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save our souls, which will purge us and clean us and wash us and cleanse us from attitudes and ways, behaviors and patterns of behavior that sometimes have characterized our families for many, many years, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for habits that are being broken by the word of God. Quarrelsomeness and bitterness and anger and resentment that we have harbored against one another sometimes, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will deliver us from the things that destroy us. I pray, Lord, that you will help us, bless us as we continue to behold your glory in your word and are changed into that image. As our lives improve, as we get better, Sunday after Sunday, Tuesday after Tuesday, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We say, oh God, that we yield to your word. We surrender to your word. Let your word reign supreme in our midst, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for such an encounter with your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated, please. Hallelujah. Wow. Tell your neighbor, I don't know about you, but I'm blessed anyway. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Even if you didn't like part of the preaching, it doesn't mean you are not blessed.